Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everybody. This is your host, Kathy Williams, along with your co-host, monthly co-host, Sophie Michelle. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, everyone.
Good to have you here. I'm so excited to have this conversation about something that's talked about so much when it comes to goals and aspirations and expanding beyond our comfort zone, and that is confidence. So our conversation today is confidence 101. Getting it, having it, is it really necessary? Or is it an illusion that we need confidence in order to act? So I'm super excited about confidence and talking about that. And before we get started, I'd love to just let you all know where to find us, where to find the show. And you can find the show on all the places like iTunes or Podbean or even iHeartRadio that you listen to on your phone or from your computer. You can also find it at iom.fm. which is the radio station OM Times Network, or on my website, meetkathywilliams.com, which is also where you can submit show ideas. I love to hear from you. Next week's show is based on a listener's request, not reader. And that is living in the question. And what does that mean? And you know, what is the power of curiosity? So I definitely take your show ideas into consideration and use them when they pop. That's also meetkathywilliams.com, Kathy with a K, Williams with an S, is also where you can pick up a free Money Rain meditation and a Create Your Life exercise that people seem to love, because I get lots of emails saying that, hey, Kathy, I use this exercise every single day. So you can pick that up over on the home page or over on the page called upcoming classes, meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming. And that's everything online and in person that's coming up. Hey, we should put the radio show on that page too, but it's not. It's on its own radio page. All right. Where can people find you, Sophie?
At sophiemihalko.com. That's S-O-P-H-I-E. Oh, I'm sorry. S-O-P-H-I-E-M-I-H-A-L-K-O.com. That's
all
where
right.
You can find
me. Here, Sophie is from France, and she's an amazing speaker and coach, and I love having a monthly conversation with her, which is why we do this. And Sophie is also the one who suggested the topic of confidence. So I'd love to just open it up with what inspired you to do a show on confidence?
So I've actually been very blessed to be doing a lot of coaching lately. And I found out that one of the things that people want the most from coaching is to have more confidence. So I would not necessarily say that we need confidence, but when we are not getting what we want out of life, a lot of times it feels like we're not confident enough to either ask for it or go for it, right? So I actually, you know, I realize a lot of people think I have confidence, it's not something I think about every day, but when people were like, well, you have so much confidence, you are so authoritative, when they started saying this about me, I was like, what am I doing differently? And then, because what I do is when my clients ask about a specific topic, I actually educate myself on the topic. So I actually researched it and found a whole lot of really great information out there for you all that I'm going to share today, to actually become or feel like we are more confident. So it's a very exciting topic, especially because it really reveals something to us. So when we feel we're not confident enough, there is simply a part of us that we are not willing to share with the world. So we're kind of hiding that part. We're not feeling confident enough that people are going to love us if they find that out about us, right? So that's usually what I see when people are saying, I'm not confident. It's simply because there is a part of themselves that they're judging. So there is a lot of great ways to get over that. I know Kathy does a lot of work with self-judgment as well. I know all of her classes or all of her training, you will find that she'll tackle that. I do too. And there are really simple ways that you can get confident. But I really like how you broke it up. I really like the, what did you say, getting, having, and keeping confident? I love it. We can talk about those three.
Yay! You know, and what's interesting is I was doing some, just taking a look at confidence, you know, as we do before we're going to prepare for something, a show of confidence, and looking at the idea of courage in relation to confidence, like knowing that there's something that feels maybe like a stretch or that something you haven't done before or out of your comfort zone. Maybe you've done it, but it, you know, it was challenging. And the idea of courage and knowing that you're gonna walk through a door but not necessarily know what's on the other side of it.
Exactly.
And that's definitely one of those things that comes into play when we're talking about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Well, do it and feel the fear. Like, none of us are actually immune to fear. I think all of us have a part of us that's a fear, that's afraid, but we just do it anyway. And that to me is courage.
So doing it anyway, it's kind of like that commitment where it's like, okay, I sense the jitteriness, anxiety, if you call it that. And I'm committing. I'm doing this.
Yep.
And then, you know, recognizing also, I think the third piece I really like is just acknowledging where you've done that in the past.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, well, this is the first step, right, to get confidence. Nobody has confidence before they do something they've never done before. Like, nobody. They're just going to go and do it because, like you said, they're committed. They're curious. There is something at stake. And so they're just going to do it. And once they've done it, then they have now the confidence, okay, I can do the next thing because I've done that. And that's what helps build confidence. That's the first and foremost thing is keep doing it so that the next time you have the confidence, well, I did it before, I survived, so now I can do it. Now I can do this. Now I can do that. That's really all it is. That's the first step.
Well, and I love that because we can look at, like, maybe I'm going to give a speech and I don't have confidence about giving a speech. Let's pretend I've never done that before, right? So So I can also use my past experience, like, well, I was nervous about this event and I did it and, you know, it worked out. I learned something, I grew, and here I am. I didn't die.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's definitely. But if you want to talk about speaking and giving a speech, that's my specialty. And, you know, I've done quite a good amount of speeches in front of small and big audiences. And I'm still afraid. To this day, there's still nervousness. But what I learned is, so there's a couple of things. First, I can trick my body in thinking that I'm not afraid. And so I've learned how to do that. Second is I use that nervous energy to actually be an even better speaker, because I'm going to be more connected, because it's almost like, help, I'm here, I need you to listen to me. And so I'm going to expand the volume, be even bigger than I would be if I was like, yeah, I don't care if you like me or not, because I know I'm good. There is something very special, tender, and lovely when somebody is grasping for us to pay attention to them with all their heart, with everything out there. It's like, oh yeah, I want to be there for you, even if what they're saying does not interest us. So speaking is a perfect way to gain confidence, in my opinion.
And as a performer, I can really relate to that. Where
right.
It's like right before that moment you go on stage, you are not calm and relaxed. You're like revving up the engine.
Yeah.
And then you can go.
Yeah.
Even if you go slow, you've revved up the engine to be super present.
Yes.
And for me, one of those things as a performer, I was a ballerina. I performed in the Kennedy Center in Washington and the Helsinki International Ballet Competition, you know, even for that ballet competition, I didn't have confidence, right? But I knew I had rehearsed.
Yeah.
And I can do the best that I've done. I can do,
exactly.
Right? Where I just practice and okay, you know, here goes. I'm showing up,
yeah.
And allowing whatever it is to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you want, but okay, there is a slight difference between picking up that energy so that we stay present, we actually give our best because we are raw and vulnerable, and then going into panic mode where we then get frozen. So I had to learn to calm down my body so that I would not go into panic mode. And it's so simple, and everybody's talking about it right now. So if you are Googling on YouTube or watching video, people talk about this. But it's your breathing. So
yeah.
When we are panicked, the breathing is very shallow, right? So it's usually in the upper part of the lungs. But when we are relaxed, it's deep. So when you go to sleep, you take much longer breath than when you're not asleep. So if you force your body to take big, deep breath, then your body says, okay, cool. We are relaxed. We're not in panic mode. And therefore, your body cannot go into that frozen state, will relax and will give you the possibility of doing what you're doing. It's all in the breathing.
Yeah, and that is one of the most effective ways that you can influence your autonomic nervous system, which isn't usually under your external, like your control.
Yeah.
Right? So
exactly.
Breathing is one of the most impactful things you can do to calm that down. Another
yep.
thing you can do is place your hand right across your forehead, which is amazing for bringing the blood back to your frontal lobe of your brain and allowing you to focus. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's simple. It's quick. I got that from Donna Eden, Energy Medicine. It's amazing. Yeah, I've
nice.
Used it in some really crazy situations.
I know. I remember you telling us about the bus, the man in the who got hit by the bus in the Utah.
Yeah, he
for him.
Flew across the street and landed against a fence, you know, and here I come running over with my tools. Yeah. So, you know, even in that conversation experience, I didn't have confidence. I just did what I followed the energy to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about getting confidence. I love the difference between getting confidence and having confidence, right? There is a difference. So actually, in having confidence, for me, that's when other people reflect it back to you. When you have confidence, if people feel at ease around you, they feel they can trust you, they feel like they want to listen to you, that's when you know you have confidence. Getting this confidence is just so that you can actually go ahead and do the thing that you want to do. And then having confidence is when people reflect it back to you. Then, does that work for you, Kathy?
Yes. I like it. I like the succinct way in which you phrased that. And part of that, well, that is the energy that you're being.
Yeah.
Right? When you have confidence, there's a calmness usually. Not always, but there's a sense of presence. There's a certain quality to your voice that's lacking when you don't have confidence, when you aren't being that energy.
Okay, so I know we're about to hit the pause, so I'm like trying to not get into something before we get the pause, but
you can get started and then leave everybody hanging.
So actually, this is perfect. The pause, the power of the pause is a lot of times what shows people that you are confident is when you're willing to not speak, when you're willing to be in front of people and pause. So that does not mean you're not engaged, but that you are not speaking. So maybe we can address that when we come back.
All right, we're going to pause for a moment and be right back. Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life on Om Chant Radio, everyone. Be back in a moment.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
We have all read about or heard about becoming more spiritual, about working with our energy, the awakening, the shift, about being our authentic selves, living our purpose, reaching our true potential. The challenge doesn't lie in the knowledge, it lies in the execution. The struggle becomes connecting to that limitless self-healing part that each one of us has and gaining control of who we truly are. Hi, I'm Dr. Reverend Aisha Hogan, and you are invited to join me on a master's practice on Om Times, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Oh my gosh, I can't hear you. How can I hear you? I can't hear you, Kathy.
Oh, welcome back to Sexy Abundant Life, everybody.
Okay.
This is Kathy Williams, and with my co-host who couldn't hear me.
I can.
Sophie Michelle. We are having a conversation today on confidence. Getting it.
Yes.
We've already talked about having it. We've started our dive into that and keeping it, and whether it's really necessary to have confidence before you act.
Yes.
So as always, your questions are welcome. You can call the station and it is, you can find that number at iom.fm. You can call in. And you can also send your questions in to at meetkathywilliams.com. I always love to hear from you, hear your questions, hear your show ideas, and have it be interactive, because I wouldn't be here if you weren't. If people weren't listening, what's the point? I mean, it's so great that I could have a fun conversation.
Yeah, exactly. We love having conversations. Whether you're listening or not, we'll have amazing conversations. We are confident of that.
All right. So you started to talk about the power of the pause.
Yes. So actually, I'm not the one who brilliantly came up with that. His name is Seth Godin, and he's a brilliant person who talks about marketing, I believe. And he is very well known to actually take the longest pauses. So if you watch his TED Talk and other keynotes that he's done, he loves to pause. And he says that actually he encourages speakers to pause up to 10 seconds, which is a very long time when you're on stage and you're just looking at the audience, and to pause for 10 seconds. But what happens is, go ahead.
We're not allowed to pause that long on the radio, because then people would think like nothing's going on.
Exactly. So you can imagine. But this is where people start questioning and looking at you in a way that is very intent and engaged. So when you pause longer than what's comfortable, whether it's for you or the audience, the audience is actually paying a lot more attention than if you are continuously speaking. If you're continuously speaking, they're like, yeah, okay, I can disconnect. She'll be still talking in a minute or 2 minutes from now. So it's a really fun way to get the people engaged. But in order to do that, you can't look nervous. So if you pause and you look nervous, then it looks like you've lost your place and you don't know what you're doing. So it's really cool. Like, we talked about breathing, and I do that. So if I feel that the audience is not paying attention to me, I will stop and I'll just wait and look at people, smile, and take big breaths, right? And right away, people come back to me because they're like, oh, she's got something to say and she's waiting for me to connect. So it works really well. And when you do that, it also gives you confidence, because you're like, wow, these people are wanting to hear from me, even though they have no idea who I am and what I'm about to say. So it also gives you confidence. So if you, next time you do a presentation, I really encourage it. Stay connected to your audience, but don't speak. Pause and let them ask for more. Yeah, it's really cool. And when you do that, you look like you have confidence. So, Kathy, you talked about having confidence is a way of being, and I want to hear more what you mean by that.
Yeah. Well, I think the best thing to do is just to have an experience of that. Where it's like, if you can tap into all of us, It's everybody out there across the globe listening. Tap into an experience in which you had confidence. If you can, if you're not operating a vehicle or in the middle of traffic, crossing the street, please, please don't do that. But you can close your eyes and just kind of see what you saw in that experience. Hear what you heard, if there were sounds, and really get a sense of that memory. Make it vivid. And let yourself have the feeling that you felt in your body.
Yeah.
And turn it up, right? So that if you really sense it maybe in your heart or your belly, can you sense that energy in your arms too? Can you sense it in your throat and down into your pelvis? Like expand the energy of it and embody that energy fully. And that's the energy of confidence. And, you know, there are ways, if you want, where you can take a hand and maybe put it on your shoulder or put two fingers together and create an anchor. So that if you'd like to practice feeling confident, you go back into that memory, you see what you saw, you hear what you heard, you make it really vivid, you get the sensations in your body, and then you use the very same anchor. So you use the same two fingers together or put the hand back on your shoulder and like reinforce it so that when you go into the experience that you'd like to have confidence with, you could put your hand right on that shoulder and feel that. And so that's what's called an anchor. And, you know, in the classes I used to take probably a decade ago, they're like, remember that. And now you're going to go speak on stage and feel like a panther ready to pounce. You know?
Nice.
Yeah. It's being that energy.
That's awesome. So I have a little different experience with that. When I have confidence, when I don't try to think so much about what I'm doing. And as a speaker, it happens often that I'm trying to memorize what I have to say. And then one day I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I have a topic and I'm going to pick 3 points that I want to share about that topic through stories. So I usually use a lot of stories to share my points. And I'm going just to talk about this. I'm going to do it a little bit louder and bigger than I would usually do it with one person because it's more than one person listening. So I have to give energy to the whole room, not just one person. But outside of that, I'm just going to tell the same stories that I would tell to one person to 100 people. And a peace came over me. A peace came over me because I no longer had to think or figure it out or control it in any way, shape, or form. I was completely letting go of how it was supposed to look, how it was supposed to feel, and I was completely present and simply telling my story. And it was awesome. People laughed. People paid attention. They keep talking about it. They also saw something in what I said that I did not even think they could see. It was awesome. So that's also for me, having confidence is when you stop trying to think about it or you stop trying to control how it's going to appear. That to me is amazing. It's the greatest feeling in the whole world.
I love that you brought that in because when you asked me that question, that was one of the first things that kind of popped in. It's like decreasing your excess thinking about something.
Yep.
You know, all of that chatter of doubt, all that, you know, chatter of like how you could mess it up or how it could go wrong or all of that. Like, and sometimes, you know, that's not that easy. Frankly, like sometimes it feels like, oh no, I'm just inundated by this and this is what's real, right?
Yeah.
The thoughts are just thoughts. And yeah. You don't have to give them significance. One of my coaches that I trained with is Michael Neal, and he used to have this suicide thought. And he was so concerned whenever that suicide thought would come. And he reached a point, you know, having studied so much and done so many personal development things, that he was like, oh, well, it's just a suicide thought, back. It's not a big deal. Right? I don't have to run from this monster I've created in my head. We create so many monsters in our head, and then we act as though they're real. And we get nervous and scared, and it's like, wait a minute. I created that. It's just a bunch of thoughts.
Uh-huh. You know?
So when you recognize that, okay, all that doubt, all those fear thoughts, whatever they are, they're like clouds. Yeah, they might be here right this second. In a few moments, they'll pass. Maybe a totally different thought will come along, probably.
Yeah.
But if you make it real, if you think like, this is terrible that I'm thinking this, and I can't step out on that stage if I have this thought, or I can't, you know, call this person, or I can't go ask that guy on a date because I'm having these thoughts, that's not actually true.
Yes. I want to give you a very cool... Go ahead. Are you not finished with the thought?
No, I was going to say, it sounds like you have something on this. Yeah.
Well, the guy... I don't want to talk to that guy like I have this story in my head. So I've actually taken a bunch of classes with a man named Matthew Hussey, who's like the dating guru. And he says the people that are the most good looking are the people that actually are dying for you to come talk to them. Because everybody is nervous about coming to talk to them because they want to have a good effect and they think they're going to be rejected and all of that. So nobody actually is coming to talk to them, or at least not the people that are genuine. And if you really, truly want to go out with a person who seems to have it all, seems to be like, you know, the leader of the pack or whatever, go and talk to them. They are dying for that connection because everybody else is afraid of them. And that cracked me up so much the first time I heard that, because I thought, how many times did I hold myself back from talking to somebody that I thought had charisma, or I thought it was so cool, because I thought, oh, they're you know, too big for me, or they're already surrounded by people, or they don't care. When it's actually the opposite, they really want you to come and talk to them. So it's a perfect example of where when you have your confidence, you can actually go talk to the people you really truly want to talk to. Or you can actually go get the job. Okay, I remember I was a little assistant. I was working on productions. I was a little assistant. And then I wanted to work on this big production. So I wanted to go from, like, assistant at the bottom of the credit to basically production supervisor. So a big jump, which I had really no credential for. But I just wanted it. And so I called the company and I said, hey, I want to help you do this and do that. And they're like, okay, maybe. And I kept bugging them. So then I had to go and do an interview. Like, they basically did not have a choice. They had to give me an interview. And when I asked for the money, because I was the person who asked for the most money, which for them meant that I was the person who was the most confident I could do the job, they gave me the job.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah. I know, right? So when you go for it, even if you don't have credits and even if you don't feel like you can do it, but you go for it, you get rewarded. I promise
that
you.
That is awesome. I love it.
It was so fun.
So cool.
Yeah.
What a fun story. Yeah, and most of us feel like, oh, if I'm new or I'm hesitant, like, I should ask for less money. Right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that does not help anyone at all. And that doesn't mean they did negotiate my salary. It was just the fact that I was the one who asked for the most money. And so they felt the more confident with me versus other people who did not ask for that much money. So it just showed them how confident I was. So having confidence does not mean that you are justified in having confidence. It's simply a choice of showing that you have confidence. That's it. It's just a choice, nothing else. There's no reason, no justification, right? And it's the most fun for me. It's like, okay, today I'm going to choose to, oh, I actually did a modeling job one day because I thought I'm the perfect height for that modeling job. I had never been a model, but in my school, they were recruiting models. So I went and did the modeling job because I assumed that I was perfect for it. And they're like, okay, cool, come on in.
So I think part of this too, and I know we're coming up on a break, part of it is the willingness to take the leap and not to have it work out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have gone and for the modeling job and they could have said, well, actually, you're not right for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be okay.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I know you and I both have a lot to say about rejection and the willingness that, to be rejected, and that doesn't actually mean anything about you.
Nope.
Right? So when we get back from the break, that might be a fun exploration because it's something that stops people up dynamically.
Yes.
All right, so we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. Find us at meetkathywilliams.com and you can submit your questions right now if you wish.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Would you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule to connect with Kathy or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. This is Kathy Williams here with Sophie Michelle, and we are talking all things confidence. Confidence, getting it, having it, is it required, keeping it, and being rejected, which is one of those things that we just started to touch on. And the rejection piece is like, in our head, one of the reasons we sometimes don't have confidence is maybe we think, oh, yes, I'm going to ask them on the date, and they might say no. Or yep. I'll go out and speak this in the conference room, and people might think, well, that was a stupid idea, or whatever it is. You know, we have lots of internal chatter a lot of the time that's saying, don't do it. Don't step out on a limb. Don't open your mouth. Don't, you know, it's better to stay safe.
Yep.
You could be rejected. So that kind of interferes with our confidence. So I know you have lots to say.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about the last time I was rejected, and it was somebody that I wanted to date, and I realized this person has become one of my closest friends now. Like, I can't even imagine my life without him in it. Like, he's definitely one of my closest friends. So I'm like, I am so glad that I even pursued for 5 minutes, because it was really not long, but for 5 minutes that I pursued the idea of dating him, because otherwise, oh man, I would be very different today if I had not gone out and made that suggestion or made that connection. So that definitely is something. I'm actually really happy I was rejected, because it created so much more. The other thing is, I guess for me, I've been rejected enough in my life that I know it's not the end of the world. So, you know, we can look at people who did not want to go out with us, or jobs we didn't get, or I'm divorced, and it was not my choice to get a divorce. So I could say that I was rejected, but the more I think about it, I can't really see it as rejection. I see it much more as me asking for something and then something even greater showing up. So I know that my ex-husband and I were very good friends and very good co-parents. And I think when we were married, we were having a really hard time co-parenting. But today, we are much more respectful of each other's perspectives and, you know, and desires for our kids. And so we are much better parents than we were when we were married because of that. So I always feel like that rejection always led to something so better. So I'm like, go look for rejection. I think you should actually, there is a man who spent a whole year getting no's. So he wrote a book, and he has a TED Talk about it. And he just looked for all the ways he could get no's. And he actually found that he was not that successful at getting no's. Like, it was very hard to truly get rejected. Do you know who it
is? It's a really fascinating TED Talk. And you know, one of the things, like, let's give an example of where he got a no. One of his first ones was he went to a doorman or someone, and he said, hey, can I borrow $100, or can I have $100? And the guy was like, no. Why? And I guess he had this camera set up, and he said that basically, I looked like I was running from a horror movie. You know, like I asked him for $100, and I didn't even stick around long enough to explain why when he asked, because I was out of there. And another place he asked and he received a no was he went to somewhere like McDonald's, but it wasn't there, and he goes, he finished his food, and then he goes, can I have a burger refill? And they said, excuse me? And he's like, you know how you give refills on drinks? Can I have a burger refill? And they're like, we don't do that. And everybody, you know, I mean, not maybe not everyone, but like in the examples he gave, mostly people were pretty nice to him. They weren't like, they weren't cruel, and probably they had something to take home and be like, hey, guess what? This guy at work asked for a burger refill today.
I know, exactly. So I actually encourage my clients all the time. I'm like, go and get a no. Even if it's something as silly as getting a burger refill, you'll start getting used to being rejected. And when you go and ask for the big things, the things you care about, it won't be as difficult. It will actually become really easy.
The guy's name was something like it's Chinese. Let me, Jia Jiang, or Yi, I don't know how you say it in Chinese, but like J-I-A-J-I-A-N-G. So you can look for his TED Talk. It's great.
Yes.
And so I
remember we
were having this conversation, Sophie, and I was inspired to go get a lot of no's. And so I asked a friend who's a musician to write a song for me, and I thought I'd hear no. And he's like, oh, what kind of song? You know? I was like, wait. The whole point is to hear no. And so sometimes people won't say no, and they'll actually say, yeah, you know, okay, I'll accommodate that. Yeah, a lot of times. So it's kind of fun to just explore and get comfy hearing no as well.
And if you are a woman, you have to know that men love to do things for women, even women who they're not dating. They just love to do things. So when you ask a man to do something, I would say 90% of the time, if he can, he will. If he can do it, he will do it, because men love to help women. It's so beautiful. I love it. It makes me love men even more.
Yeah. And would you be willing to allow them to do things that you could do?
Yeah.
Like in an airplane. Yeah, I could put my bag up, or I could be like, hey, you look strong. Would you mind doing this? I remember being here at my house. I live up, we live upstairs. Right? My mom, when she comes to visit, she lives downstairs. So I have this old office chair that I was kind of done with, and I put it out on the landing, and then my son's friend's dad came to pick up his son, and I said, oh, you look strong. Would you mind carrying this office chair down? You should have seen how happy he looked.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
strong.
Awesome.
I could carry this down, you know. It was great. It can be a huge gift for someone to actually do something for you. And he could have said no, and that would have been cool too. But hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that idea also of when you hear no, it's not about you. I mean, like, let's say I asked for that and he said no. Maybe he had a torn rotator cuff. Or, you know, you ask for them to make the salad without dressing, and they say, well, actually, we can't do that because the salad already has, it's already pre-made or something like that. Like, that's not about you. And then there are other examples, too, where it's just, we think rejection is about us.
Yeah.
And it's really not.
If you are feeling like it is about you, so I remember being it was so silly. There was this chiropractor. I really, really wanted to get an appointment with her because I had heard so many great things about her, but she had a waiting list. And so I didn't get an appointment with her because it was too long and I needed to see somebody right away. And I felt so rejected that I was crying, right? And my friend was like, you may want to look into that and actually ask yourself, why are you feeling rejected by a chiropractor, right? Like, and so I feel if there is a really deep emotional response to a rejection, you may actually want to look at what's underneath that and what have you missed? Like, which part of you are you still judging? then maybe if you did not judge that part, you would not have taken it personally, right?
I love that, inviting yourself to look at which part of you you may have judged.
Yeah, it's a big sign. It's a big sign. Okay.
Well, and that's go ahead. Yeah, go.
Well, last thing is, if you're doing social media and you're afraid of, for instance, making videos, one thing to know about that is people don't have time to watch bad videos, which I think is awesome, because if you make the worst video, they actually won't see it because they don't have the time for it. There's too much stuff online. So it's a really great way of building confidence, because you can do bad work and nobody will notice it. If you do good work, though, then they will notice it. So I say go for it. Go make videos.
And actually, I'm going to have a one-time online class about being seen really soon. So if you've had a little bit of hesitation being seen, you can hop on over to meetkathywilliams.com and submit the contact form. And then when that class is ready, I will send you the info.
Nice.
It is not on the calendar yet, but yesterday I was talking about that with one of my assistants. So there we go.
Very good. It's awesome.
Yeah. So confidence is one of those things that's really useful to have and not required before you take action. Right? You can take action without having the quality of confidence. You can start to write your book without being confident that it's going to be amazing. You just get writing.
Yep.
And get engaged in the process of writing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you have something to add there as well.
Okay. Well, I didn't think of it that way. The way I was thinking about it is that you don't need to think of it as confidence, because it's simply you doing what you want to be doing. And like we're having this conversation in case you are feeling like you don't have enough confidence. But if that's something that never occurred to you or that you don't worry about, then great. Then just do whatever it is you want to do. But like Cathy says, if you are feeling you don't have enough confidence to write the book or do the video or all of that, it's totally fine, because there is no confidence to be had. It's about you actually stepping in and doing what calls you, what your heart says you need to do. That's all it is. Whether people will read it, see it, appreciate it, it's so not what that's about at all. And then once you start doing it, maybe you share a piece or two and people are like, I want to read this book, but not when you're writing it. That's not what that's about. Just go do the work, and then the confidence will come. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just for fun, I'm taking massage school, and I had no idea, like, why. It just was what it felt like it was time to do, like, really called to me. So I'm doing it, and we had our first clinic a few days ago. That means our first time working on people who are actually paying. Yeah, and
nice.
Four people, like four different hour-long sessions. And I went in there and I was just like, I'm not sure I'm gonna know what to do. Right? And you just start. And you start and you tap into what the body needs and you just go. And I had a woman who said, every time I come here, I'm going to sign up with you. And I thought, well, that's cool. I mean, like,
that's awesome.
Today was my first day. And she
that's
said
awesome.
That. And it was because I was present and I just responded to whatever showed up.
Yep.
If she asked for more pressure, I would give more pressure. If she asked for less pressure, I would give less pressure. And I, of course, I would check in and ask, you know, If something felt really good, maybe I'd do that again, right? And so it's just like dancing with life being present enough to respond to what life is presenting you with.
Nice. I love that. Whew, okay. I think we've did a really good job in boosting people up about confidence and really building that confidence. That's awesome.
Well, I love that you just mentioned that, Sophie, too, because acknowledgement is so key too, right? Like after you've done a good job, after you've started that writing project, I keep mentioning that because I know a listener is doing that. after you've done those massages, after you've done that speech, acknowledging, oh wow, I was nervous about it, and look, I did it.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for being here with me, everybody. And thank you so much for being here, Sophie. Where can people find you? Just
SophieMihalko.com and go check coaching, and you'll find something really fun and interested under coaching.
Awesome. And I'm at NateCathyWilliams.com. And if you've looked on there before, we have some corrected links. So sorry about that.